for this week. This week's parsha. Tells us about the initial settling of Yaakov Avinu and the Shiftei Kor in Mitzrayim, which is leading up to Shibud Mitzrayim, leading up to the Geula, and the descent of Yaakov Avinu and his family to Mitzrayim starts off in this week's parasha. And the pasuk says, "Ve'es Yehuda sholach lefonov el Yosef." Before Yaakov Avinu brought his family down to Egypt, he sent Yehuda first lehayrois lefonov Goishna, to Goshen, where the family was going to settle, Lahiris Lefonov. And the word Lahiris is a word which has a number of meanings. And the simple meaning of Lahiris in the context of this pasuk is that Yaakov sent Yehuda to Yosef to prepare make the suitable arrangements that the family should be able to settle in Goshen. Rashi quotes a medrash. The medrash interprets the word lahiris in this pasuk not to mean to prepare, but interprets the word lahiris in this pasuk to mean to teach, implying, says the medrash, that the reason why Yaakov sent Yehuda to Goshen prior to the rest of the family coming to Goshen was to establish in Goshen a yeshiva. And we see here a very interesting precedent that every time during the course of history that Klal Yisrael was sent out into Golus, the three Golias that Klal Yisrael was sent to, the three times that Klal Yisrael were exiled, whether it was the Golus of Mitzrayim, whether it was the Golus after the Chorban of the Bayis Rishon, or whether it was the Golus after the Chorban Bayis Sheni, on each and every occasion, the way in which it worked was that prior to Klal Yisrael going into Golus, there was an establishment of a Makom Torah in the place that they were going to. We find that here, in this pasuk, prior to the family of Yaakov Avinu going into Golus to Mitzrayim, Yehuda is sent to establish a Makom Torah. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph that prior to Klal Yisrael going into Golus after the Chorban Bayis Rishon, the Golus of Bavel, the Ashkocha arranged it that before Tzidkiyahu went into Golus Bavel together with Klal Yisrael, already Yechaniah was there, and the Gemara says that that when they got to Bavel, there were already existing and living in Bavel those Chachomim B'Torah who could teach Torah to the Bnei Agayla who were coming into Bavel. We find by the Chorban Bayis Sheni that immediately that it's obvious that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, and it's obvious that Klal Yisrael are going into Golus, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai starts negotiating with the Roman Emperor, representative of the Roman Emperor who then became the Roman Emperor, as to the future of Klal Yisrael under the Roman Golus. What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ask for? Ten li yavne v'chachomeha. Allow me to establish a Makom Torah. If you allow me to establish a Makom Torah, then we can deal with Golus. In other words, the establishment of a makom Torah, the establishment in modern day language of a yeshiva, is the lifeline that allows Klal Yisrael to exist, or allows Klal Yisrael to survive in a matzav of galus. And we find an interesting Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara says in Yuma, on Daf Kavches Amud Beis, Omer Rab Chomi b'Rabbi Chanina. The Rab Chomi said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Miyameim shel Aviseinu, right through the period of the Avos, through the period of Avram, and through the period of Yitzchak, and through the period of Yaakov, Leiposha Yeshiva Mehem. There was never a concept of there not being a yeshiva. Avram Avinu Zaken, says the Gemara, V'yoshev b'yeshiva. Shenema Bahiki Zaken, Yitzchak Yaakov Avinu was a Zaken and Yoshev b'yeshiva, Shenema Avinu Yisrael Chibdem Zaken, Yitzchak. In other words, in each and every one of the others, there is a pasuk which talks and uses the expression of Vayeshev in reference to Avram, in reference to Yitzchak, in reference to Yaakov, and this indicates, says the Gemara, that all the others, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, had yeshivas. And this springs to mind here an obvious question. One of the most famous Mekomos HaTorah that existed, lechura, in the history of mankind, where the others themselves learnt, was the yeshiva of Shem Be'eva. There was the yeshiva of Shem and there was the yeshiva of Eva. And we find many, many sources in Chazal that the Avos themselves, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, where did they learn? They learned in the yeshivas of Shem and of Eva. On the pasuk of Vayigdalu Hanorim, Chazal say that Yaakov was Yeshiv Oyalim Isaac Batera, that he learned 15 years by his grandfather, and then he learned 48 years in the yeshiva of Shem. We also know, Rashi says, Mefurish in Paldas, Boshas Pashas told us, also in the name of the Midrash, that Yaakov Avinu, before he went to Lavan, spent 14 years learning in the yeshiva of Shem Be'eva. Targum Yonasan brings Mefurish a pasuk, translates the pasuk that Yitzchak learned b'sheh b'bei midrasha b'shem. Immediately after the Akedah, Chazal say that the Malachi Ashores took Yitzchak and brought him the base midrasha shel shem, and that he learned there for 3 years. Avram is a pasuk mefurish in the Torah, which Chazal touch up the pasuk in the Torah. Chazal translate the pasuk in the Torah that Avram Avinu learned from Shem. And yet we find that there's a Gemara in Yuma which says that they pasko yeshiva mea ovis, that Avram learned, had a yeshiva, that Yitzchak had a yeshiva, that Yaakov had a yeshiva, and there's no mention in the Gemara of the fact that Shem Ve'eva had a yeshiva. And in fact, there's no mention anywhere, anything at all, about the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. All that we know is that different people learned there. Avram learned there, Yitzchak learned there, Yaakov learned there, and then Avram established his own yeshiva, Yitzchak established his own yeshiva, Yaakov established his own yeshiva, but there's no recording anywhere, anywhere at all, about this yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. Even though the yeshiva of Avram, as we'll see in a moment, is described in detail, the yeshiva of Yitzchak is described in detail, and the yeshiva of Yaakov is described in detail. The yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva existed, but it's not mentioned anywhere, and it's not brought in that Gemara, which is the ultimate source of the history of yeshivas in Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah. Why not? Why isn't the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva brought there in the Gemara? Why isn't the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva mentioned anywhere? The Rambam, in the very beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, gives a synopsis of the history of mankind from Adam Arishon until Avraham Avinu comes onto the scene. And the Rambam talks there about the deterioration of mankind in the Dor of Enosh, and how they got involved in becoming idol worshippers, and how the entirety of the human race, other than Avraham Avinu b'shaite, got involved in idol worship. And then the Rambam carries on, and the Rambam says, but then there appeared on the scene an individual by the name of Avraham. And this Avraham came to a realization that idol worship is rubbish, it's a load of garbage, and that there's a concept of monotheism, there's a concept of one God in the world. And came to a realization that there is a system out there, and this system was organized, was arranged, and was given by God. And the Rambam continues, and the Rambam says the following: V'hischil, meaning Avraham Avinu, began lamoit, to stand up in public, v'likrei b'koil gadol l'chol ha'olam, and to call out in a loud voice to the entire world, ulahidiyom, and to inform them, sheyesh shom elei ha'echod l'chol ha'olam, that there is one God in the world, v'loi roi ulavoid, and that a obligation of every human being is, in his own way, to be an Eved Hashem. And then the Rambam carries on, the Rambam extrapolates about this, and the Rambam goes at length to describe this. And then the Rambam says, what was the result of all this publicity that Avraham Avinu was giving about this concept of God and being an Eved Hashem? Ad, until, shenitzkabtsu elov, that he had around him alofim, thousands, or avovis, and tens of thousands of people. And then the Rambam says something very strange. And these tens of thousands of people that collected themselves around Avraham Avinu and drank in the words of Avraham Avinu, Haim Anshei Beis Avraham, they got a title, they got a name, they got a description, they got a very specific description, and their specific description is they are called Beis Avraham. In other words, Avraham Avinu established something which was called Beis Avraham. And the Rambam then continues and says, what was this Beis Avraham? What was unique about this Beis Avraham? What was singular about this Beis Avraham? What was it? Says the Rambam, v'shosal belibo. What was unique and what was singular about this Beis Avraham was that Avraham Avinu implanted in all these people Ha'ikar ha'godol, what their major purpose and what their major function in life is. Avraham Avinu just didn't simply inform them of certain areas of knowledge which they were unaware of beforehand, but shosal belibo, he implanted it within them. Seeing there was this implantation, there was this silo, there was this shosal belibom, therefore, a place which is a place of shesilo, a place which is implanting something, is called Beis Avraham. And then the Rambam continues, and the Rambam says, Vahidiyai leYitzchak benoi, and Avraham Avinu told his son Yitzchak, you have to carry this on. Says the Rambam, and that's the pshat in the pasuk, Vayeshev Yitzchok, Melamed, to teach us, Umazir, that Yitzchok carried on that which Avraham Avinu did. He also created, Vayeshev, he created, which Chazal say means a yeshiva. He created a place where there was an implantation of that which Avraham Avinu had been implanting. And then what did Yitzchak do? Haydiyai liYaakov. He passed this message across to Yaakov, and Yaakov went and did the same thing. Uminehu lelamed, and he appointed him to be the next one to take over and to do the same thing. And that's why it says by Yaakov, Vayeshev Yaakov. Melamed umachzik kol hanilvim elov. Yitzchak took over from Avraham Avinu and taught all those people who were his Talmidim. The Yaakov Avinu did the same thing. Did it to his children. And Yaakov Avinu went even further. He took one of his children, says the Rambam, and he made him v'mineu, and he appointed him Rosh as the head of this institution. V'yeshiva b'yeshiva ulamei derech Hashem v'lishma mitzvah is Avraham. V'tziva es bonov, that this has to carry on. The Rambam is establishing here what was the chiddush of the Ovis. There was a vast difference, there was a tremendous difference between what Shem Va'eva did and what Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov did. Shem Va'eva had a Beis Medrash. And in this Beis Medrash people learned. And when they finished learning, they went home. Shem Va'eva had a place where people could acquire knowledge. Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, they did something else, says the Gemara in Yuma. And that's why Shem Va'eva aren't mentioned there. And that's why Shem Va'eva aren't mentioned at all, describing what type of place Shem Va'eva had. Because Shem Va'eva had a Beis Medrash, where people came in and they acquired knowledge. Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov established something else. Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov established something which is called, say Chazal, a yeshiva. A yeshiva is not a place where you acquire knowledge. A yeshiva is not a place, says the Rambam, where a person sits there in order to know and to gain material that he should have some type of intellectual asset. That's not what a yeshiva is all about. A yeshiva is not a place to learn halacha. A yeshiva is not a place where you're learning a profession of being a magichir, or you're learning a profession of being a rashiva, you're learning a profession of being a rav. That's not what a yeshiva is about. A yeshiva is not a place where you're there to gain knowledge. It's not even a place to get a derek in learning. That's not what a yeshiva is all about. Says the Rambam, if you want to know what a yeshiva is about, a yeshiva, says the Rambam, is a base chinuch. It's a place which educates. What does that mean, says the Rambam? The Rambam says that means sila belev. That means that whatever is being taught in a yeshiva has to be implanted in the Talmud. It has to become part of him. It has to become part of his essence. It's not enough to know. A person can know Torah, and a person can be a loymed Torah. That's not enough. You have to become a shtick Torah. You have to become a London. A person can read all the Musa Svarim in the world, and it doesn't do anything at all unless he becomes a Baal Musa. You can philosophize from today until doomsday about God, and that's nothing unless you become a Yorei Shamayim. You can know the entire Mishnah Berurah Baal Peh, and that does nothing at all unless you actually keep halacha. The function of a yeshiva is not to give you knowledge. The function of a yeshiva is to change the individual. To be a London, to be a Yerushalayim, to be a Baal Musa, to be a Baal Midas. You can talk from today till doomsday about person, how a person should behave. If you don't behave in that way, then nothing's happened. As I keep saying, my Rebbe Rabbi Lapin used to say, there are many bookcases in the world. They contain a lot of svarim, but they remain a shtick holtz. They remain pieces of wood. The fact that a person contains a lot of svarim is meaningless. You can have a lot of svarim in your mind and you remain a shtick holtz. You still remain a piece of wood, you remain a bookcase. Because if it doesn't change a person, if a person doesn't become different, then nothing's happened. That was the chiddush of Avraham, that was the chiddush of Yitzchak, and that was the chiddush of Yaakov. But the Ramban, in his Pirush al HaTorah, says something very interesting. He says, you find by Avraham and Yitzchak that Chazal talk about the fact that they went out in the world and they spread the word of God, v'chulei, 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 v'chulei. You don't find that about Yaakov. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, nowhere in Chazal, says the Ramban, that Yaakov Avinu went out and did what Avraham and Yitzchak did in the sense of taking in Talmidim from the outside. Says the Ramban, because Yaakov had a different type of yeshiva, says the Ramban. What was the yeshiva of Yaakov? The yeshiva of Yaakov was his children. In other words, the Shifti Kol, the 12 children of Yaakov, that was his yeshiva, says the Ramban. And that's what Yaakov Avinu was doing with his children. He wasn't relating to his children just as a father to their children, but he was relating as a person running the spirituality of a yeshiva. He was a mashgiach. That's what Yaakov Avinu was. He was a mashgiach in the yeshiva, which was consisted of his children. Therefore, if one wants to know something about a yeshiva, if one wants to know something about what's important and what's not important, what plays a role, what doesn't play a role, look at Avraham, look at Yaakov, and look at the relationship of Yaakov to his family and how he dealt with his children, and it will tell you something about how to deal with Talmidim in a yeshiva if you are a mashgiach in a yeshiva. Rabbi said, I want to get practical. I want to talk about what's been going on here in the couple of weeks that I wasn't here. Right? And it has absolutely nothing to do with me, because anybody who wants to know what my opinion is about the situation or what I would have done in the situation, ask Rabbi Weinberger. He'll tell you very clearly. Right? But Rabbi, I want you to know something, and to know it very clearly. We find by Yaakov Avinu that Yaakov Avinu had a tremendous kpeda on two of his children. And who were these two children? Shimon and Levi. He had a kpeda on Shimon and Levi. What was his kpeda on Shimon and Levi? They killed the Anshei Shechem. In other words, they never asked Yaakov Avinu what his opinion is about the subject. They determine on their accord what has to be done here. On the pasuk, Vayikhu shnei bnei Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi, achidina ish chalve. That Shimon and Levi, the two sons of Yaakov, who were the brothers of Dina, took their swords, vayavayo la'ir, and they came to the city, and they killed out every single male in the city. Rashi brings a chazal. Shnei bnei Yaakov bonavayu. The two sons of Yaakov were take his children, they were his Talmidim. Bonim and Talmidim means the same thing, says Chazal. However, even though they were his Talmidim, Noagu Atzman Shimon Velevi Kishara Nosim Sha'inam Bonov, they didn't act as if they were Talmidim. Shalai Notlu Eitzah Mimenu. They never asked him how to do things, they decided themselves how they're going to do things. What was the taina that Yaakov Avinu had on Shimon and Levi? We find a very interesting thing. If you look in the Psukim, you don't find anywhere that Yaakov Avinu had a taina on Shimon and Levi that the decision that you made, that al pi halacha you are mechuyev to kill the Anshei Shechem, is wrong. Shimon and Levi didn't get up one day and decide they're going to kill out the Anshei Shechem. Shimon and Levi had a rationale. They had a halachic rationale as to why they have to kill out the Anshei Shechem. It was based on a very good logic and rationale, and it was based on halachic sources. We don't find anywhere that Yaakov Avinu turns around and Yaakov Avinu says, you were wrong. In other words, that you made a mistake in your lomdus. That's not his taina. What's the taina of Yaakov Avinu? The taina of Yaakov Avinu is you didn't take into consideration the ramifications. And I don't blame you that you never took into consideration the ramifications, because how can you take in the ramifications? You don't know what the ramifications are because you haven't been around as long as I have. I'm simply more experienced in life than you are. I've been in this game longer than you, therefore I know better than you what the ramifications of what you did are going to be. And you went and you made the decision on your own accord, without asking me. And even if I would have told you, you would have argued with me and said, you understand it differently. In other words, there was a vikuach here in Shikol Hadas. There was a vikuach between Yaakov and his children. How do you react? And they came up with a very logical, rational, halachic reason that you should act in this way. And he held differently. That's a legitimate argument, no? I'm entitled to my opinion, you're entitled to your opinion. I have my red line, you have your red lines. You're in charge of the spirituality of the yeshiva, and you decide that if it's the red line, this is the way you're going to react. I'm a Talmud in yeshiva, I have my red line, therefore I'm going to react in my way. That's legitimate. It's totally legitimate. What did Chazal say? Tens of years later, Yaakov Avinu is not meichel them. In Parshas Miketz, Yaakov Avinu sends Binyamin down to Egypt. He doesn't want to send him on his own. What does he say? He says to the brothers, I'll send Binyamin on condition that one brother goes with. But he doesn't mention his name. Who was the one brother that he sent? Shimon. Say, Chazal Rashi brings it on the pasuk. Why didn't he say his name? The Ramban says, I'll tell you why he doesn't say his name. V'nir al derech ha-pshat. The pasuk pshat, says the Ramban, of why Yaakov Avinu didn't say the name of Shimon, ki lo yahayah Shimon rotzui la'aviv. He wasn't rotzui. Didn't find favor in the eyes of Yaakov. But avud vashchem, tens of years later, he can't bring him out to say his name even. And therefore he wouldn't say Shimon Beni, he said one of the brothers will go. Years later, Yaakov Avinu is dying and he's giving brachas to all his children. Two don't get brachas. Not only they don't get brachas, they get slammed by Yaakov Avinu before he dies. Who? Shimon and Levi. Why? Pasuk says Mefurish. Shimon the Levi Achim play Chomas Mechiri Seyem Bezedim Al Tavi Nafshi Bikolam Al Tachik Voidik. Curses them out. Why? What was so terrible that Shimon the Levi did? You have your red line, I have my red line. What's the big deal? Even if they would have known that their father didn't agree with them, so what? No problem with sending a text. I believe like this, you believe like that. What's the problem? From the time of the Ovis, the way in which Torah has been passed down from one generation to the next generation is the way in which the Chazal and Maseches Yoma describe it. There is a concept of a Rebbe and there is a concept of a Talmud. There was Avraham and he had Talmidim. There was Yitzchak and he had Talmidim. There was Yaakov and he had Talmidim. Moshe Kibbul Torah Misinai and Mosra to Yeshua. After Matan Torah. After Matan Torah it continued. That is the yesod of a yeshiva. That is the yesod of Torah. The yesod of a yeshiva and the yesod of Torah is that there's a Maseiros, there's a tradition. When it comes to yeshiva, there's no such thing as I have my opinion and you, Rebbe, have your opinion. That doesn't exist. There is no such concept. There is no right within the parameters of a yeshiva to have an opinion, Bichal. And therefore, when somebody does that, you destroy what is the essence of Maseiros of Torah from the time of the Ovis. That there's a concept of a Rebbe and a Talmud. And it goes even further than that. There's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says on a couple of occasions that a Talmud who goes against his Rebbe disagrees with him. Not b'tor having a Shaila, but disagrees with him because when the Rebbe made a decision, he says, I hold differently. The Gemara says he dies without children. V'horaya says the Gemara Yeshua died without children because there was one occasion when Yeshua said something against Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein lechelik eilam abo, the Rambam paskins. There's a chiv, not only ein lechelik eilam abo, there's a chiv to be menade him, right? Because I'll say terrible things about a Talmud that goes against his Rebbe. And the Gemara says the following, Amir Allah lifnei Rebbe, somebody who differs in opinion from his Rebbe, is chayav misa. Says the Gemara the following. The Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says that Shmuel went against his Rebbe Eli. And Shmuel paskened that Shechita is Ksheira Bazar. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, you don't need that the Shechita should be done at the Korban, should be done by a Kohen, the Shechita can be done even by a Yisrael. Eli hadn't even stated an opinion about it yet. And Shmuel shot in his opinion. My opinion is that Shechita Bazar Ksheira, which happens to be right, by the way. Happens to be right. Says the Gemara, Shmuel was Chayav Misa. And Chana's mother came to Eli and she begged Eli that he shouldn't have Hakpoda on Shmuel and he should forgive him that he was Hameira Halacha Befonov. Says Tosfos, there's something wrong here. Says Tosfos, why is there something wrong here? Because historically, he hadn't yet started learning directly from Eli. He wasn't yet in Eli's shiur. He had no connection with him. He just happened to be part of the yeshiva. But he wasn't his Talmud, says Tosfos. So why is he chayav misa? Says Tosfos, v'afav bishadayin leilomad befonov, even though he hasn't as yet started learning from him directly, mikol makom gadol ador haya ubalil made lefonov. Says the Trumas Hadesh and Tosfos is giving two answers here as to why Shmuel was chayav misa. One answer is that Eli happened to be the gadol ador, and by the gadol ador, it doesn't make any difference whether you did learn from him or you didn't learn from him. He's the gadol ador, and if you go against him, you're chayav misa. Second teretz, Tosfos says the Trumas Hadeshin, Balil Moed Lefonov. He was registered in the yeshiva. But that can never learn by him, it doesn't make any difference. Balil Moed Lefonov. Balil Moed Lefonov, that's already called a Talmud. Doesn't make any difference. Moir Halacha Bifnei Rabbi starts when the Talmud registers in the yeshiva. It makes no difference whether you have got a kesher with a mashgiach, whether you haven't got a kesher with a mashgiach, whether you do go to his vadim, whether you don't go to his vadim, whether you do listen to him, or whether you don't listen to him. And it goes even further than that. In the machlekes of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day, there were 300 people who were on Korach's side. That's all. There weren't more. Yet the entire Klal Yisrael was Chayav Misa. Say Chazal, why is it that the entire Klal Yisrael were Chayav Misa? They weren't involved, they were standing on the side. Says the Ramban, in his Pirush Al HaTorah, he says, you know why they were Chayav Misa? Because they never took sides. Because they saw what was going on, they saw that there were people who were being ma'arer on what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, and they said, let's wait to see who wins. This is good fun, this. We'll wait and we'll see. Who's going to break first? Says the Ramban that where you have a situation of somebody who has spiritual responsibility and you have people fighting against him and you don't interfere on his side, you stand on the side and let's see, say who breaks first, you are Chayav Misa, you are Meira Halacha Lifnei Rebbe. Slobodka Rosh Hashiva Zechatar Gibrach Ramot Chamorosh Epstein writes in the Hagdama to one of his Sforim that the first teretz of Tosfos is also applicable because the yeshiva in our days has the din of a God like that, the Messias of the yeshiva, because that's where a person is going to get his lifeline from. Rabbi say, you guys are playing with fire. You are playing with fire. You're talking here about somebody who gives over his life for this yeshiva. You still can hear about somebody against my better judgment, right, is interested in one thing and one thing only. You guys. Unlike me. Right? That's all he's interested in. And all you can do is consistently spit him in the face. That's all you can do. The ultimacy of chutzpah, if a mashgiach says for a guy to move a room to argue, you know, I'm ancient, but I'm not that ancient. I was thinking to myself, since I landed here and heard about what was going on, and I think of my mashgichim, and I think of Zechitali V'Kodesh Levrocha, Rameh Chodesh, right? And I think of Rav Strizal, mashgiach, Rav Volbi. Think about our mashgiach. Would we have had the audacity to even bring up an argument? Why? Because I'm Miriam, halacha lifnei Rebbe Chayev Misa. Yeah, agree. Don't agree. I know better. You know better. You know nothing. Where should you know it from? From the garbage and the sewage that you've been in? Where do you know anything about what's right and what's wrong? And you're telling him? You're talking about somebody who spent the last 40, 50 years of his life in the Olam HaTorah? Is the Talmud of the Gedalia, the Mashgichim of the last generation, the Gedalia Rashiv is the last generation? And you know better? Because he happens to be nice and that's his mistake? So you think he's a pal of yours? That you can treat him like another guy in the room? You guys are playing with fire. Do you know what you're doing here? He spends most of his life in Golus, trying to put together a few backs to pay your tuition. And all he says to you is one very simple thing. For your benefit, I don't want that you should have some type of gadgetry. Irrelevant of what it is. It's irrelevant what you think. It's irrelevant what you feel. It's irrelevant if you think it's better for you or it's not better for you. It's irrelevant whether you think you can survive or you can't survive. If you don't do what he says, you're a Meira Allah Khalifnei Rebbe Yitzchayim Misa. And the only way that you can get out of it is by going somewhere else. Pick another Rebbe who agrees with you, then you won't be a Meira Allah Khalifnei Rebbe. But don't stay around here. Not for my sake, not for his sake. For your sake. How on earth do you expect to go anywhere when you've got a bit of medrash? Look at it. Look at the tables. Look at the guy over there. Look what's going on in front of him. In front of an Aron Kodesh. Is that Derech Eretz? Is that a way a bit of medrash should look? Does there have to be one guy who spends, or two guys every night, who's the only guys in the whole place who bothers to clear up a sefer from the table? Why is it that when we say, please clear up the Sforim, out of 30 guys, 40 guys, 42 guys, 37 guys, I don't know how many. Except for four guys, the whole Beis HaMikdash disappears. And the same four guys, the whole time the guys are cleaning up. Look at the way the Ezras Noshim looks, it has to be used on Shabbos. Why is there going to be one guy who's going to spend his whole Friday afternoon clearing it up? Why doesn't anybody else care? Because if you live in the sewage, you start acting like a sewer. That's the way of the world. Everybody, without exception, start clearing up this Beis HaMikdash, start clearing up the Ezras Noshim, start putting the Sforim that you're lying on the ready for months on the windowsills in the Ezras Noshim back on the shelves where they should be and get this place looking like it should be normal.